Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord, from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts today comes from the fifth chapter of the book of James, verses 7 to 10, as follows. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. So far, the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, hurry up and wait. That's often the theme of this time of year, isn't it? You go to Walmart, you get the things you need to buy, and it's busy, and you're in a hurry, and you get to the register, and you wait. And you look around, you wonder if you're in the right register or not, and it usually ends up you're not. Hurry up and wait. We teach our children patience, don't we? To wait, not to interrupt adults when they're speaking to each other, but patiently wait until it's the right moment where they can break in conversation without being rude. It's a learned behavior, patience. Even as adults, we struggle with being patient. No more so than as believers. Believers, too, are all constantly struggling against the sinful flesh that always wants its way. We struggle to be patient. And here in our text, the Apostle James reminds us to be patient and wait on the Lord, all the while giving glory to God for the very ability to do that. I mentioned in Bible class a famous poet, John Milton. He wrote Paradise Lost. Perhaps you remember that lengthy poem. I don't know if it was in that poem or not, but he's the one that I'd like to quote who said, "They also serve who only stand and wait." Being a Christian in this sinful world may be the hardest kind of service to perform as a Christian is to wait. Knowing the Lord's promises, knowing that He's in control of everything, and yet with our physical eyes seeing everything that's wicked and sinful and wrong going on in this season. To see terrible tragedies occurring. Connecticut this past week, awful. To see those things. Isn't it hard to wait for our Lord's coming? We see those things and our heart yearns for the Lord's second coming. Lord, come soon, quickly, end this. And yet, they also serve who only stand and wait. The lights of the season remind us of the light of our life, Jesus Christ. It also reminds us that because He has saved us and given us salvation through faith and the forgiveness of sins and what He accomplished for us on the cross, that we too are to be lights shining in this sinful world. And so we take example from the Scriptures. Our midweek services, if you've been able to come to those, they're emphasizing what the prophets of the Old Testament say about the Messiah. And all of our readings today and last Sunday too point to the prophets. Take the prophets as example. Even our reading today from James in the New Testament says, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Take them as an example of patience and suffering. Because then you'll be serving your Lord. They also serve who only stand and wait. Practice the prophet's patience. That's our theme today. And we can do it with joy, knowing that we are serving the Lord by waiting patiently for the Lord to exercise His ways among us, to exercise His choice of when the last day shall be. That will be the culmination of all that He has accomplished for us in His Savior, Jesus Christ. Practice the prophet's patience as you wait patiently for the Lord's coming. James encourages that with an example. He uses a farmer. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. In Jerusalem in those days, there were two rains. It kind of reminds me of our area around here. We get our spring rains, and then we get that hot, dry weather in the summer. And the hills turn brown, and you think, well, nothing's ever going to grow up there again until it starts raining in the fall again. Get that latter rain, and lo and behold, the hills are green. Ranchers count on that, especially those guys that graze these hills. They count on that latter rain so that their cattle have something to eat over winter. The ranchers up on the Palouse, when they plant that winter wheat, they're counting on that precipitation to come down covered in the form of snow, mostly to cover the grain, preserve it so it can start growing again in the springtime when it gets warmer and more rain. They wait patiently. That word patiently has the idea of long-suffering and exercising self-restraint with yourself, which enables the sufferer, the one who's doing the waiting, not to lash out, not to do anything foolish, not to retaliate for any reason. And that kind of takes us out of the illustration of the farmer. What can a farmer do about whether or not it rains? He doesn't. He waits patiently. And the average farmer just waits patiently on the Lord's bounty, right? The Christian farmer believes that God will bless. And even when they have a tough year, they still realize that the Lord is blessing them through everything. Be patient for that early and latter rain. That yields the precious fruit. The Lord's precious fruit, they're sitting here before me this morning. They're the called, the chosen by God, those who are believers. That's the precious fruit. There are many more, Jesus says. There are other sheep who are not of this fold. These too I must call. I must gather them, the good shepherd says. So let's be patient. Let's practice the prophet's patience as you wait for the Lord's coming. It's not always easy. You know how it is with being patient. It's a learned behavior. And it's something that you can accomplish, and you can do what James encourages you to do because of what your Savior has already accomplished in your behalf on the cross. It's because Jesus paid the price of our sins. It's because God now looks at us as declared not guilty, as justified. It's because God sees us not with our past wicked deeds that we've done this past week, but with the holy, righteous life of His own Son. We are wrapped in that like a robe of righteousness. And that's how God sees us. It's because of that message, that declaration of the gospel, truth, that we can then apply James' encouragement to wait patiently, knowing that sometimes it's even just simply being a Christian, standing here in this world where so many aren't and where so many are following a different path. They also serve who only stand and wait. The coming of the Lord is at hand. He says, establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. We know how to continue building on what has been established in our hearts already by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. We know how to build. Keep on hearing the Word of God. Continue abiding. Jesus said, abide in my Word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's a continuous, ongoing thing that establishes us and keeps us in the one true faith. And it's all part of the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Through God's Word. We are established. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, the Lord comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And verse 8 reminds us, the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now you have to realize when this was written. This was written 2,000 years ago. Probably right around the year 48 or so, somewhere. So Jesus hadn't ascended into heaven for too many years, maybe 10, 15 years. And the New Testament church was alive and well. But the apostle here writes a letter to those Christians and tells them coming of the Lord is at hand. He's standing at the door. And then we remember, with the Lord a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Do you expect the Lord to come in your lifetime? I hope you do, because I sure do. The apostle sure encourages us to live our lives that way, to apply the gospel message of what God has done for us, to dwell on that, to have that enrich our hearts and minds and enable us, fuel us, to continue to wait patiently with rejoicing in our hearts for what God will accomplish. He promises it. It must be true. Practice the prophet's patience. The judge is standing at the door. Just that phrase, is that a warning to you or a comfort? The judge is standing at the door. Well, as a believer, you know that when the judge does come, he'll look into your heart. He'll see that gift of faith that the Holy Spirit has placed there, and he'll take you and put you on his right hand. He'll judge you immediately as one of his own dear children. So if the judge is standing at the door ready to do that, aren't we ready to hear? Aren't we ready with joy to join our Lord in the everlasting mansions and glories that he's prepared for us? Of course we are. However, if there are any among us who are harboring any kind of other thoughts, if there's any among us who doubt that the Lord is coming very soon or may not come in our lifetimes or probably won't, then take this message to heart. The Lord is standing at the door. That could be very terrifying for someone who's been a hypocrite their whole life, for someone who's acted like they're a Christian but really aren't. And by definition, you know, you can't identify those people, right? Neither can I. I can't look into hearts. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a hypocrite. Because a hypocrite is someone who says they believe, but they don't, really. And we, of course, take people at their word. I believe everyone sitting here this morning is a Christian. Because I know all of you. I know your faith that the Lord has given you. I have no reason to doubt. In fact, the Eighth Commandment tells me not to doubt. And you're the same way. You look around your fellow believers, we don't go around thinking, oh, maybe they're a hypocrite. We don't. We put the best construction on everything. We explain everybody's words and actions in the best possible way. And we know that when the Lord comes, despite anybody's level of sanctification or how they're living their Christian life, that the only thing that gets a person to heaven is faith. And the only person that lands a person in hell is unbelief. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. The coming of the Lord is soon. When? I don't know. If I would hazard a guess, I'd say December 21st is definitely not going to be the day. Simply because the Mayans said it was. It may be. If that's the case, it's because the Lord decided, not because anybody wrote a calendar a couple thousand years ago. No one knows the day and hour, but the Lord does. But he tells us he's ready and waiting, and we are prepared because the Holy Spirit has worked that faith in our hearts and caused us to believe and grasp his promises, which are always true. Take the example of the prophets. Practice the prophets' patience as you wait for the Lord's coming. Practice the prophets' patience as you endure persecution. Persecution. Have you been persecuted as a Christian? You know, I was trying to think earlier today. No one's ever punched me in the nose or, you know, tried to run me over with a car or taken a shot at me when I was out hunting because I was a Christian that I know of. I've never suffered to bloodshed for Christianity. Now, I know there's been a lot of martyrs in the past who have given their lives for the Lord, and that may be in our future, the way things are going, who knows? But to date, I've never even been pushed. I've had some harsh words said to me a few times, but sticks and stones can break my bones. What kind of persecution should we take example for from the prophets? Well, if you remember, some of the Old Testament stories and accounts, the lessons in the Old Testament, a lot of those guys weren't hurt either. They were just looked down upon and told that they were false prophets, or told that they are totally ignored. Most of the prophets in the Old Testament were ignored by the children of Israel. They just didn't listen to them. But they still brought the word. They had the patience to continue bringing God's word. You could say, truly, of all of the prophets, major or minor prophets in the Old Testament, they also serve who only stand and wait. Yes, they brought God's word, and that's what had its way among the children of Israel. Oftentimes, it would work repentance in entire cities, like when Jonah delivered his message to Nineveh. You know, the whole city repented in sackcloth and ashes. It worked. We too are to bring God's word, to bring the message of repentance, which involves feeling sorry or being sorry, having godly sorrow over our sins, but then also turning to the forgiveness that God offers in Christ, receiving that forgiveness by faith, clinging to it, and so enabling us to stand patiently while the Lord brings in the fruit, while the Lord harvests those and brings the word to those whom he has chosen to believe. As you endure persecution for your faith, remember the prophets who did suffer persecution. Remember Job in the Old Testament? All you got to do is read the first chapter. That poor guy lost his big family. He lost his health. He lost all his wealth. Kept the faith. It all turned out in the end for his good. It all turned out as a blessing. Even though the devil himself was working, trying to persecute Job to get him to give up his faith. Sometimes it can seem like the devil himself is working you over to get you to give up the faith. But take the example of the prophets. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ reign in your hearts and lives. Remind yourself of what he has done for you. Remind yourself that as we celebrate Christmas, true God came down here to be true man, so that he could defeat our worst enemies, so that even death itself is nothing to be afraid of. It's been turned from a valley of ugliness to a valley of the shadow of death. It's not what it was before. Now it's all conquered through our Savior Jesus Christ. Now Jesus says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's what our Savior has accomplished. Those are the good tidings of great joy that are to you and to me, and it's meant for all people. That gives us the genuine peace on earth, the peace that reigns in our hearts as Christ rules in our hearts and lives. That allows us to look to the prophets of old and take comfort, and to practice their patience, waiting, knowing that Christ is coming and that it's going to happen. This Sunday's theme, practice patience, but rejoice. Because what God says will happen, it will come true. Wait patiently. They also serve who only stand and wait. Jesus wrote, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen.